When I was 20, I met a fellow student who introduced himself as a flâneur. This caught my attention as I was into reading Baudelaire, Dostoevsky, August Strindberg, and Hjalmar Söderberg. I felt for these men. I recognized their loathing of social conventions, and I pitied their masculine restlessness, their longing, and isolation. Perhaps I needed to feel sorry for this fellow student too, to cheer him up. At this time, I was working on a dissertation about the ancient city, which included a semiotic analysis of our university town in the Middle Ages. As I wandered through the streets and backyards, observing every detail and searching for the blueprint of a lost earlier town, I felt invisible. I was the roving eye that unpicked the fabric of the city, layer by layer, until I could decipher its code and reveal its origins. It was a thrilling sensation. I'd grown up in this town, but writing about it made me know it, made me feel parts of its story. I had written myself into its history. Excited, I told my fellow student that I too was a flâneur, thinking perhaps that this might enliven him. He laughed and said I was far too busy to be a proper flâneur. No flâneur, he explained, had a purpose. It struck me then that there wasn't a word, as far as I knew, for a female flâneur. A streetwalker, or a street girl, as we say in Swedish, was something else, and yes, I'm sure they were much busier than my friend, who at that point was dropping out of his classes to loiter around our small town. Years later, I heard that he became an estate agent. I hope it gave him a sense of purpose. When I moved to London, I experienced for the first time the paranoia and fascination of the metropolis. This was a proper city, very far removed from my small town, or even from Copenhagen, which I knew well at this point. London was a mystery, a creature with a life of its own. My hometown had remained true to its medieval order. The ideal city of Jerusalem could still be traced from the cathedral in the centre to the cross shape of the main streets. But London is like Brownian motion, mobile, multiple, chaotic. During my first years in the capital, I cycled everywhere, getting lost, cutting through one-way streets, and marvelling at the views from the bridges. In the Marble Arch roundabout, I hiked up my office skirt and kicked at black cabs. Gradually, I felt that I was becoming part of the metabolism of the city. I let myself be carried away by the current, and as I flowed past the surging crowds and flashing lights, I was completely anonymous. Historically, it's been men that have designed, run, and written about cities. But of course, we can all be writers of the city. We move through them like a pen scribbles across a paper, adding and deleting. We avoid the threat, inertia, and paranoia, and dream of freedom, possibility, and excitement.